EF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Okay. Well, I'm quite impressed. At 8:15 in the morning, I wasn't sure what kind of crowd I was going to get. So thank you all for showing up here. My name is Vince Bonfanti. I'm the president and founder of New Atlanta. We make Blue Dragon, so I assume everyone here has heard of Blue Dragon, at least. What I'm going to cover today, this is really a two-part presentation. The first part is I'm going to do an overview of MySpace.com. Anyone who was here last year knows that was our big announcement that MySpace was running on Blue Dragon, and so we wanted to do sort of a one-year wrap-up of how things have gone. The next thing that I want to do is give an overview of the rest of the day's sessions. As you know, we've got this room booked all day today. We've got five sessions, and the sessions are listed here. Josh Adams, who is our technical sales engineer, is going to give two sessions on specifically on BlueDragon.net. Lori Pacheco, who is our support engineer for Blue Dragon, is going to talk about the different Blue Dragon editions, including the Java editions. Then I'm going to give a follow-up with a talk at 4:15, where I'm going to talk about the future. And what I want to do today, this morning, is go give the highlights of each one of these right here today. Maybe let you decide if you want to come back and see any of these, or maybe if you don't, at least give you the highlights of what's going on. So MySpace.com, if you were here last year, you saw this banner that we had up there. What we were showing is MySpace.com at the time was the fifth largest website on the internet. It was running about 7.5 billion page views a month. This was in May of 2005. They were doing about 400 million, page views per day, 20 million users, and we had just announced that they were going to begin migrating to BlueDragon.net at that conference. Now it's a year later, they're actually doing about 1.5 billion page views per day on that site, which is just an incredible number. They've got over 88 million users, 40 billion page views a month, and they have now vaulted up to be the second most trafficked website on the internet, trailing only Yahoo.com. So that's tremendous growth that this website has experienced over the past year. What I'd like to do now is give a little recap of the keynote, maybe just a little quickly. For those of you who weren't here, maybe for those of you who were here, just give you a little history of MySpace. MySpace.com was launched in September of 2003, so it's very a fairly recent site. It's been less than 3 years that it's been up, so that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Less than 3 years, it's now the second most heavily trafficked site on the internet. They originally launched on Windows 2000 Server and IS5, SQL Server 2000, and then Cold Fusion 5 Professional. And those of you who are familiar with Cold Fusion 5 Professional know that one of the key differentiators between that and the Enterprise Edition was the fact that they had to use the ODBC drivers instead of the native drivers. And this caused them problems almost immediately with the level of traffic that they were running on the site. So what they decided to do, starting in December of 2003, was to upgrade to CFMX, which is a natural thing that you would expect people to do. Again, the main reason that they wanted the upgrade to CFMX was because of the database issues that they were having with the ODBC drivers. Unfortunately, they started to have problems with the JDBC drivers for Microsoft SQL Server. Any of you who are familiar with the history of CFMX when it first came out are aware that there were some problems early on with the JDBC drivers. I believe that most of those issues have been resolved today, but if you go back in time, they had some trouble with that, and what happened was MySpace actually had worse problems with the JDBC drivers than they were having with ODBC on CF5. And so what basically they did at that point was they eliminated CFMX and said, we can't do this. We've got to find another solution. Even as early as December of 2003, the traffic on the site was growing so dramatically that, you know, and so unexpectedly. I mean, no one expected the site to grow that quickly. They had a serious problem and they had to do something about it. So in the spring of 2004, basically, which is when we first made contact with them, pretty much they were examining all of their technical options at the time. They were looking to replace SQL Server with Oracle. So the problem was with the SQL Server drivers. They thought, okay, well, maybe if we go to Oracle, we can solve the problem. They said, well, gee, maybe the problem is just we shouldn't use CFML. Maybe we should rewrite this whole thing in something else. Maybe we should switch to Linux and Apache. Maybe we should use an alternative JDBC driver with CFMX. And then the reason they brought us in was they originally were looking, you know, maybe we should switch to Blue Dragon Server JX, which is our Java version of Blue Dragon. And this is actually when we first made contact with them, when they began to look at this as an alternative. So basically, when we first started talking to MySpace, they were looking at all of this, okay, at the same time that the site was growing. And I guess that's the other point, is that if you can imagine the scenario these guys were in, they're having problems with the site growing. They're looking at all these technology alternatives, and the site was just growing absolutely unbelievably at a rate that no one could have predicted. I mean, you know, put yourself in their shoes. Nobody builds a site and says, gee, in three years, I'm going to have the second biggest site on the internet. They just had not planned for that level of growth. It was quite a hectic environment that they were in at the time. Very, very, quite interesting. Basically, what happened is, in all those technology evaluations, by the summer of 2004, around the June-July timeframe, basically they decided that they were going to go with Blue Dragon. That was the solution. One thing to realize is that one of the key points was that Blue Dragon comes with the JTurbo JDBC driver. JTurbo is a product that New Atlanta develops ourselves, so we develop and support that product. And they found in their testing that the performance issues that they were having with ODBC on CF5 and also on CFMX at that time with JDBC were solved because of JTurbo. And that was one of the key decision factors that they made when they decided to switch to Blue Dragon. The interesting thing, though, was right at the time that they were making their decision to go with Blue Dragon, we actually began beta testing of BlueDragon.net. They were aware of that. Also, as part of their whole technology evaluation, MySpace decided that they were going to stay a Microsoft shop. So if you remember, they were doing all the technology evaluations. They looked at Oracle, they looked at Linux, they looked at Apache. Basically, at the same time they concluded that they were going to go with Blue Dragon, they also concluded that they were going to stay with Microsoft technologies. Well, once you put BlueDragon.net into the picture, okay, they said, gee, there's a whole lot of advantages of running .NET, okay, instead of Java J2E on Windows. We think we want to use BlueDragon.net instead of JX. And actually, some of the talks that we're going to give later today are going to address this point some more. So the sequence of events was MySpace did this technology evaluation, decided they wanted to use Blue Dragon, then saw our .NET product and said, gee, we think we want to look at that instead of using the JX. So basically, in the fall of 2004, which is when we started beta testing of BlueDragon.net, which is, I think, in August or September timeframe, they began an evaluation. Okay, compatibility, performance, reliability testing, and of course, you got to remember, in the background of all this, the site is, you know, still growing. The traffic is growing tremendously. They're throwing new servers in there. In the winter of 2005, this would have been like the February-March timeframe, we actually culminated in some live production testing. So by the winter of 2005, we actually had BlueDragon.net servers in their cluster serving traffic, and they were measuring the performance of, basically, was BlueDragon going to handle the load? Was it going to be able to do what they needed it to do? The conclusion, basically, by that spring, we released BlueDragon.net in March of 2005, and a few weeks later, they actually placed their initial order of, I think it was, I forget the exact number, it was several hundred servers they ordered for the first time. And by the time CF United 05 came around last year, they actually were in the process of doing that upgrade. And so that's when we made the announcement that said, hey, MySpace is running on BlueDragon.net, because we knew that they were in the process, that they had ordered these servers and were in the process of upgrading. So that's kind of the whole sort of summary story of MySpace and how it came to be running on Blue Dragon, and specifically BlueDragon.net, culminating our announcement last year. Again, summarizing what I showed at the beginning, they're averaging about 1.5 billion page views per day currently, over 40 billion per month, 88 million users. And in fact, today, most of their servers and most of the traffic on the website is running either on BlueDragon.net or on ASP.net. They have taken some portions of the site in the meantime and actually rewritten them using natively in ASP.net, and they did this primarily for performance reasons. There are some CF5 servers still in production. So if you go and hit all the different domains and try to figure out what they're running, you will find that there are some CF5 servers. Mainly those are on low traffic portions of the site, and also portions of the site that are not changing. The new features that they're developing, the places where they're adding traffic, that's all being done either running on BlueDragon or running on purely on ASP.net. And so that's where MySpace is today. Going to switch a little bit and talk about some of the sessions that we have the rest of the day. The session immediately following this one, again, Josh Adams, he's our technical sales engineer, is going to be presenting this one. The title is Deploying CFML on .NET. And basically what he's going to do is do a compare and contrast of .NET versus Java J2EE. So the Java J2EE architecture is the one used by ColdFusion MX. It's also used by the Java J2E editions of BlueDragon. And so he's going to take a look and see what the differences are and what the benefits. And in a nutshell, the benefits that I list here, their performance, their reliability, scalability, and also the ability to integrate with the .NET platform. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those right now. And Josh is going to go over this slide in a whole lot more detail later this morning, but I want to cover this today. This is the architecture. If you have a CFML server, and when I say a CFML server, I'm using that as a generic term to either mean ColdFusion MX or BlueDragon. So if you have a CFML server that's implemented using Java J2E, this is basically the architecture that you're looking at. And if you look at the color coding here, what the color coding indicates is a single vendor. So for example, in this case, IIS, Windows Server, SQL Server, all provided by Microsoft. You've got a Java VM that's provided by Sun Microsystems. You've got a J2EE server. In the case of ColdFusion MX, this is JRun. In the case of BlueDragon, this is our Servlet Exec product that provides the J2EE server function. Then you've got a CFML runtime, again, which is either CFMX or BlueDragon on top. Those are provided by a single vendor, along with a what we call an iSAPI filter, which is an IIS plugin that handles the communication here. You've got a JDBC driver. In the case of ColdFusion MX, this is a third-party driver provided by DataDirect. And the key point here is you've got multiple vendors providing the different pieces of this system. Okay, what this causes is it increases the complexity of the system because you've got interaction among components that are provided by different vendors, and a reduced level of integration, particularly when compared to the .NET architecture, which we're going to look at now. The other thing to realize is you can actually make this diagram much more complicated. You can have a third party, yet another company's J2E server. This could be WebLogic or WebSphere or JBoss here, which is going to get another vendor in the picture, and you could be running another database. You could be running Oracle or MySQL. So the point of the Java J2E architecture, again, is complexity, okay? And the complexity is driven by what you see here. You've got major components of the system being provided by different vendors. And again, the end result is just a more complex system. If we look at BlueDragon architecture, the first thing that you notice is all the colored boxes go away. All of these pieces of the system here are now all provided by a single vendor, which is Microsoft. So you've got Windows Server, you've got the .NET framework and ASP.NET. What this does is it reduces the complexity of the system because now you've got one vendor providing all the pieces. It increases the integration of all these pieces of the system because, again, you've got one vendor that's providing the bulk of the system. There's only another piece here on top. This is the BlueDragon. This is the part that really is BlueDragon.net, which is the CFML runtime. And the thing to realize there is that we work very closely with Microsoft on developing this piece. New Atlanta is a gold certified partner. That's the highest level of certification that you can get for Microsoft. And BlueDragon.net has been certified with Windows 2003. So that means we get access to their engineers through the certification program. We work very closely with them and run through their certification process okay, to make sure that all these pieces work together properly. So again, and like I said, if you want to know more about this, come to the session following this one, because Josh is going to go into some more detail and actually show you the different pieces. But the key thing to remember is, in the Java J2E, you've got a lot of different vendors, you've got a highly complex system, a lot of interactions. .NET, you've got much tighter integration. And what's going to, the result of this architecture is going to be improvements in reliability, okay, improvements of performance because of the integration of the programs, of the components, improved reliability because of the integration, and those sorts of benefits. The next session after the, so getting back, so when we talk about deploying, the first session at 9:15, Josh is going to talk about deploying your CFML on .NET without changing your code. So the key is that if you take your CFML applications and you're running on Windows, there are advantages to moving that to a .NET architecture without making any modifications to your code. In other words, just running pure CFML, you can get all the reliability, all the performance improvements. The next step is, once you've actually taken your CFML code and moved them onto .NET, there's now things that you can do to integrate if you choose to do that. And so some of the things that we're going to talk about, so for example, if you take your ColdFusion code, your CFML code, and run it on .NET, you can now create mixed applications that contain some CFML code and some ASP.NET code, and you can share the session and application scope variables. This is very similar to what you might be familiar with on the J2E product. So on the J2E products, you can share session and application between JSP pages and CFML pages. We can do the same thing on .NET. You can now create mixed applications. You can also, and one of the things that he's going to show that's actually very interesting that goes beyond the Java integration is that from an ASPX page, we can actually give you access to the variable scope and client scope of ColdFusion. So, you know, the variable scope. So you can see where the session application scope are very easily to be shared. What's a little bit trickier and more interesting is that you can actually share the variable scope and the client scope and access those from within an ASP.NET page. And so that's one of the things that he's going to show. The other thing is to realize is that all of this sharing, Blue Dragon takes care of doing all the type conversions under the cover. So for example, if you take a CFML query variable and put it into the session scope from an ASP.NET page, you can pull it out as an ASP.NET data table, which is the native type that ASP.NET represents query results. So all that type conversion is handled automatically for you by Blue Dragon. Can we save questions till the end? Is that fine? And so the key there is that the CFML, as we're saying here, as a CFML developer, in order to do this in this sharing of the session variables, you don't need to do anything other than you normally would do. If you have a counterpart who's an ASP.NET developer, they just handle things the way they normally do. Blue Dragon handles all the interaction and integration. There's other forms of reuse between CFML and ASP.NET. One thing that we give you the ability to do is to actually, from your CFML code, do a CF include of an ASPX page. So we've actually extended the CF include tag. You can go the other way. You can take ASP.NET code and you can invoke CFML custom tags, you can invoke CFCs, you can include CFML pages in your ASP.NET pages. So in addition to doing the scope sharing of application and session scopes, we actually allow you to reuse components between CFML and ASP.NET and go in both directions. And again, if you're interested in hearing more about this, I think it's the 1:30, or I forget the exact time, but it's not the immediate following session, it's the integrating session that Josh is going to go through and go into detailed code examples and show you how all this works. I guess I mentioned, again, CF object can create, well, actually, no, this is a little bit different. On BlueDragon.net, you can use the CF object tag to actually create .NET framework objects. So just like on the Java versions, you're probably familiar with the fact that you can use CF object to create Java objects. Well, if you're running on BlueDragon.net, we've extended CF object. We've got a new type equals .NET, and it actually allows you to create objects from the .NET framework. And these can either be built-in classes, or they can be ones that you wrote yourself and actually and access those directly from CFML. And then, as I mentioned, we also provide the ability from ASP.NET code to invoke CFCs, which is a neat feature. And again, we'll go over that. And the key point here is this is a direct integration. This is not a web service call. Okay, so the ASP.NET page is not making a web service call back around to invoke the CFC. It's actually directly in code invoking the CFC, just as you would from your CFML code. Very, very interesting feature. So again, just to summarize, the two sessions following this one, it's going to be deploying CFML on .NET. That's going to talk about some of the architecture and performance and reliability enhancements. The next session is going to talk about all the integration features, all right, that I mentioned. And then at this afternoon at 3 o'clock or 3:15, Lori Pacheco, who's our support engineer, is actually going to give an overview of all the BlueDragon.NET additions. So I know that the title of this track was CFML on .NET, but she's actually going to talk about some of the Java additions. So those of you who may not be familiar with BlueDragon or who want to learn more about some of the other additions and some of the other possibilities will want to come hear Lori's talk. Some of the different, just to give you an overview, we do have a free server edition of BlueDragon. This is a Java-based server. It's a standalone server, very similar to the CFMX server that you're used to. It has adapters for IIS and Apache, so you can either run it with its own built-in web server or you can hook it up to IIS or Apache web server. It does have some limitations. It only supports ODBC. It doesn't support JDBC connections. It doesn't do SSL, and it's also not for commercial use. So it's good for development systems. It's good for a hobbyist system. If you have a nonprofit site that you want to run on this, it's perfectly useful for that. But just so that people are aware that we do have this edition. BlueDragon Server JX is another Java edition. Basically, it adds back some of the restrictions on the free version, so it is a standalone Java-based server. It does have all the JDBC support. It does have SSL. It is for commercial use, and you do have to pay for it. It's $899 per server. It's very equivalent to CFMX standard, although it does have some features that you only get in CFMX Enterprise. So, for example, BlueDragon Server AX has the ability to support JSP pages, which in CFMX you have to go up to the Enterprise edition. We do have a J2E edition of BlueDragon, which is designed to run on standard J2E servers. It is an enterprise-level product. It runs on WebLogic, WebSphere, JBoss. We've tested it on Oracle. Basically, we will support it on any J2E server that you want to run it on. So if you want to run a J2E server that we haven't tested yet, in fact, we had a conference call last week. Somebody wanted to run an Oracle, the latest, the 10, I forget the exact number. Basically, we're running those tests this week to make to certify it for them to make sure that it works. We also have, we announced back in April that BEA has licensed BlueDragon from us, so you can actually go to BEA and get a branded version of BlueDragon that has been tested and certified by BEA. You buy it from them, they support it, and so if you're a BEA WebLogic user, if you use that as your J2E server, then you're going to be interested in knowing more about the BEA WebLogic edition of BlueDragon and take a look at that. And then, of course, she's going to talk about BlueDragon.net this afternoon. Okay. This is the most interesting part, I think, of the things that we're going to talk about. And this is going to be my session at 4:15. So if you want to hear more about BlueDragon 7, you'll want to come this afternoon. We are announcing BlueDragon 7 at the show this week. The first thing to realize is as I'm going to go through the feature set, the features that I list are in all BlueDragon editions, okay, not just .NET, so the set of features. One thing to realize about the session at 4:15, If you look at the description in your program guide, it talks about a look ahead at things like Windows Vista and Atlas and Avalon and Indigo and all that sort of stuff. That the talk this afternoon was originally intended to be a real forward-looking thing of things that might come in the future. I'm actually not going to talk about any of that stuff. I'm going to only talk about Blue Dragon 7 and things that are really happening in the near future. So if you were planning to come at 4:15 to hear about some of those future things, and basically the reason is we put these. It was several months ago that we put these presentation talks together, and some of you who follow this may realize that Windows Vista has continued to slip. And we're now looking at well into a year from now before we're going to see Windows Vista. So we felt like talking about things that might happen a year from now would be less interesting to people than talking about things that are going to happen in the next few months. So just be aware of that there's going to be a slight change, but I think it's going to be more interesting for you this way. Again, all features are in all editions. The most interesting feature that we're adding in Blue Dragon 7 is the ability to do multi-threaded programming. So what we're going to allow you to do, we've introduced two new tags and some other tags and functions that go along with this, and we're going to allow you the ability to create new threads and do and control those threads, and there are a lot of good reasons to do that. This is one of the things I'm going to talk about most this afternoon, and I'm also going to talk about this during the keynote on Friday. So if you can't make it this afternoon at 4:15, I'm still going to talk about, come to the keynote on Friday at 11, and I'll go over some of the CF thread. This is exciting stuff. We're making some enhancements to CF query. One of the enhancements is only available in BlueDragon.net and SQL Server 2005, and this is a new attribute that we call cached until changed. And I'm actually going to show you a demonstration of this before the talk's over this morning. Basically, the idea is any of you who do query caching, use the cached within option, or realize that the dilemma of cached within always is, what's the right interval? Do I cache for a minute? Do I cache for an hour? Do I cache for a day? What cached until change allows you to do is say, I don't worry about that anymore. The data is going to be cached, and I'm always going to serve it out cache until I know that there's been a change to it. Then I'm going to refresh my cache, and I'm going to serve it out of cache. So you never have to guess. You never have to worry about your data will never be stale in the cache. You're always going to be serving fresh data. And again, I'm going to give you a demonstration of that. We're also introducing a new attribute to CF query that we call background. And I'll talk about that a little bit more, but in a nutshell, background is useful for things like inserts and deletes where you don't necessarily care if the result happens right away. And so what this is going to allow you to do is basically Blue Dragon has a background processor. So for example, an easy example of this is a logging. So if you have implemented a custom logging feature that you're logging on every request, you want to insert data into a database, that's data that, if it gets written now or if it gets written 5 seconds from now or 10 seconds from now, you don't really care because you're not using that data in the processing of your request. This allows you to do it on a background thread, which is going to improve the performance of your system. Something else I'm going to show this morning, we're introducing a new keyword into the CFML language for handling nulls. Also a function called isNull that goes along with that, and I'll talk about why some of you, I see some heads nodding, right, know why that's important. And I'll talk some more again this morning about why that's going to be useful. We are going to provide the ability to do interfaces for CFCs with an interface tag. And again, anyone that's heavily into CFC development knows what that's about. I'm really not going to talk about that anymore today. If you want to know more about that, come grab me at the booth or later and we can talk some more about the CF interface tag. We are adding, now the features that I just showed on the previous page, those are all unique features that you're only going to find in Blue Dragon. Okay, you're not going to find those in CFMX, for example. These features we're implementing features that are in CFMX 7. We're adding application CFC support. However, we are doing some enhancements. We're adding an on-client start event handler. So if you're familiar with application CFC, you know that it already has on-application start, on-session start. It seems pretty apparent that there should be an on-client start, so when you know when a new client has been created. We're also adding a missing template handler for the CFC. So this actually allows you to implement a missing template handler per application. And I'll show you, I'll give a demonstration of that. We're adding CF document support in Blue Dragon 7. And again, all these features are on all the Blue Dragon editions. So you're going to get these in .NET, you're going to get these in JX, you're going to get these in J2E. One of the key things is that if you're familiar with the implementation right now on CFMX standard, the CF document tag is single-threaded. In other words, only one request at a time can execute a CF document tag. You have to buy CFMX Enterprise in order to get multi-threaded CF document. We are going to provide multi-threaded support in all editions, including the JX, with the caveat that the free Blue Dragon server will not support CF document at all. Okay, the JX will be the lowest level edition, but you'll get that CF document in JX multi-threaded. We're also adding PNG and JPEG output formats for CF document. And one of the things that this is really useful for is you can create thumbnails of websites. And actually, I'm not sure how the internet connectivity, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to demonstrate that or not, because I need to be able to get out onto the internet. And we're adding CF chart to Blue Dragon, and we've got some enhancements, and I've got a demonstration to show of those. We're enhancing the CF search capability to do multiple languages, Word and PDF. And then there are some other features that CFMX 7 added that we're picking up. CF timer, there are some SOAP-related functions. We're also adding MySQL 5.0 support in Blue Dragon 7, including the ability to do stored procedures. So if there's any MySQL users out there, you know that stored procedures were the big new feature of MySQL 5. We're adding that, including BlueDragon.net will support MySQL 5. We're going to do 64-bit Windows and Linux support in Blue Dragon 7. And then there's a number of other miscellaneous enhancements that CFMX 7 did. There was a isValid function that they added. There was some enhanced validation that they added to CF param tag. There was a script protect attribute added to CF application. There was basically a miscellaneous, I don't know how else to categorize those, and we will be picking up all those features in Blue Dragon 7. So essentially, Blue Dragon 7 is bringing us up to CFMX 7 compatibility, plus adding the new features that I showed on the first slide, the CF thread, the is null, some of the CF query enhancements that we're adding. Of course, we're doing performance enhancements. Always want to do performance enhancements every time there's a new release, and pick up bug fixes. To be fair and to be complete, there are some major features of CFMX 7 that we're not supporting in Blue Dragon 7, and they're listed here. The event gateways, flash forms, and reporting services we will not have implemented in Blue Dragon 7. Okay, so let's do some demos. So the first thing that I want to show is this cached until change attribute. And what you can see here, I've got two queries. And what I'm doing is I'm selecting from a database. So I've got a database DBO employees. And the first query I'm selecting, so I've set my department variable equals to engineering. So the first thing is that I'm going to select, you know, where department is engineers, and then the second time I'm going to select sales. So I've got two queries. The first time I'm going to go and pull out all my engineers, and the second query I'm going to go and pull out all my salespeople. Notice that in both cases I've got the cached until change attribute set to true on both of these. And so again, what the cached until change is telling it is retrieve this query from the database and then cache it and serve from the cache until we know that there's been a change in the database. And so let's just run that query. I've run it here. I did a dump of a CF dump of the data. You can see the first one, I've got all my engineers, I've got all my salespeople, and most importantly, see the query source, notice that it's pulling it from the cache in both cases. So every time I refresh this, you'll notice that, again, it's just pulling it from the cache. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and add a new employee. Let's add Dan Ganter. He's in our sales department. And so, okay, so it's going ahead and it's added Dan. You can see here, so if I go back to my other page and I refresh, and let's try again, it didn't work. Did I mistype sales? Let's try this. well. This is why you should test your demos before you go live. This was working. I know this was working. Let's see what's going on here. Well, see if it actually added the data. So this is the SQL Server 2005 Managed Studio management application. If you haven't seen that before, it did add the data, and so I don't know why it didn't update. So I can tell you what was supposed to happen, and I'll have to go figure out before I give this demo again what went wrong. But if this is implemented properly, what you'll see is that the cache will actually get refreshed, and it would pull the data from the cache. And I don't, like I said, I did test this, obviously not this morning. So a little bit embarrassed, but that's how it's supposed to work. And I assure you that when Blue Dragon 7 is released, it's going to work. So sorry about that. The other, boy, that is puzzling. No, I don't think the, let's try. Now, see, it pulled it from the cache again if I did a new page. No, like I said, I know this has worked. So I don't know. The only thing I can think is different is I don't have network connectivity right now. I don't know why that would affect this. I'll go figure this out. And and anyone who wants to see this demo, come by the booth later, and I assure you that I'll have it working right. The other feature that we've added is the attribute that we've added to the CF query tag, as I mentioned, is this background attribute. And here's an example of where this would be useful. So this is my application CFC. And so what I've got is on my on request end, and so this is a sort of a typical case. And so what I've done is I've implemented a custom request logging feature. And so the idea is that at the end of every request, I simply want to log out the time, the page, the remote address, and the HTTP user. Okay. And so the idea is that by setting this background equals true, what happens here is, as soon as Blue Dragon starts to execute this query, it actually queues it up to be run in the background on a separate thread, which means that the query doesn't actually happen, that this on request end function will return immediately. So it's a performance advantage. Anytime you're doing something at the end of a request, again, that might take some time, a database insert, just do that on a background thread. On very high traffic sites, this feature was basically developed for a website called Blog City. If any of you have ever seen Blog City, which runs on Blue Dragon, it's a very high traffic site. They do some custom logging. We developed this for them. Makes a dramatic improvement. If you don't have a very, very high traffic site, you might not see as much improvement, but at least, you know, be aware that this feature is available. One of the other features that I wanted to talk about was the null keyword, and there's several places where null can be used. The most compelling is if you're doing CFC development. What we've got here is I've created this is an employee CFC, and what I have is I have an init method that actually has a return type of employee, so it actually returns a CFC. Now, what we do is we pass the employee ID into this function, and we do a database query, and we look up the employee ID and record. And basically, the idea is we're going to populate an instance of an employee CFC based on the data that we get from the database. Now, the interesting question is, what happens if that employee doesn't match? Okay, what are you left doing today? Basically, you've got a number of choices, none of them that are actually very good. One is that you can throw an exception, which means that the person that actually calls your method needs to know that there's a possibility that you can throw an exception and has to use a try-catch around it. The other possibility is you can return an empty employee. We could populate the record, the employee, with put a negative one maybe as an employee ID and have the user check that. The point is if you're familiar with higher level programming languages like Java or C#, what you really want to do is return null, right? And say, sorry, I didn't find an employee, and return null. And so that's exactly what we're doing here, is we've introduced this new null keyword, okay, and that's what we're going to do. So let's look at the code that would actually call this. So the get employee code is going to create the employee and pass the employee ID to the init method. All I did was hard code the employee ID to 1. And then it's going to check and say, is it null? Did I get a null value back from the employee? And let me show you, let me actually run this code. So let's close this. Oh, I didn't want to do that. Okay, and so notice if we look at my code, if I got an employee back, all I did was do a CF dump, okay, of the employee object. So you can see in this case, I actually got back the employee object. So let's go ahead and change the employee ID to one that I know doesn't exist. Refresh button, and this tells me that it does not exist. And so that was this. That was the is null test that we did there. So very simple example of now I can, returning null values back. And for object-oriented programming, people who have run into this problem, this solves a very important problem, very important hole that's currently in CFML, not being able to return null. There's some other uses of null. So let me give you an example. This one is more of what we would call a syntax sugar. So when you're invoking Java classes, there are Java methods that by definition take null as a parameter. Okay, so if anyone's ever used this, they know that. So for example, java.io.file create temp file, and this is the definition of this method that's directly from the Java docs. And notice that suffix may be null, directory may be null. So it's valid for me to call this method and pass null to it. And right now, the only way to do this is you have to do this create temp file. I have to do this Java cast null and pass an empty string to it. Well, with BlueDragon 7, since null is now a keyword of the language, you just pass null to it. And so again, it's the same functionality. It's just a little syntax sugar that you get there. And we can show again, I can show this working. That was create temp file. Not much to see. In fact, it's showing the fact that I'm actually doing it both ways. So I'm creating it with the Java cast. I'm creating it with passing null. More interestingly, though, is sometimes it's valid for a Java method to actually return null back to you. Okay. Now, who knows what happens today if you do that? If you return null, if you invoke a Java method that returns null in ColdFusion MX and assign it to a variable, actually that variable doesn't exist in the code. If you do a CF dump, and let me give you an example of that. So here's a Java method. Here's a Java method called get parent file, and notice again the definition of this is that it returns null if the path name is not the name of a parent directory. So for example, I've done create object for test file, I've initialized it to C colon. Well, C colon doesn't have a parent. So when I call get parent file on this one, it's going to return null. If you do run this code in ColdFusion, on ColdFusion MX, and you do a CF dump of the variable scope, test parent does not exist. Okay, it doesn't get assigned any value, and literally it doesn't show up in the variable scope. And so what you have to do to see if you got null back is basically you have to say if it is defined, okay, test parent is the only way. What we've done in Blue Dragon now, though, is we actually return null. And the example that I'm going to show is basically I've created a directory here, and what I'm going to do is go into a loop and walk the file directory and print out all the parent paths successively. Notice that the condition of my loop is not is null on the parent file. And let me sort of explain what would happen if you ran this. If you ran this, you can run this code on ColdFusion and on Blue Dragon 6. You have to use the isDefined function instead. But what happens is, if you recall back that when a null comes back from a method, ColdFusion basically takes that variable out of the scope. If you're executing this loop and you're assigning parent file the value of parent file dot get parent file, what happens is the last time through this loop, parent file disappears from the scope. If you run it on ColdFusion today, it just all of a sudden you've got parent file, you're running along happily, and then it's gone. In Blue Dragon, we actually assign it the value of null, and then give you this is null method that you can actually test against. And again, very simple demonstration, and you can see that I just walked through that, printing out each of the parent paths in order. And actually, if we do a CF dump here at the bottom, let's see what that variables, did I get that right? So let's scroll down. Notice here, parent file actually still exists in the variable scope, and it's indicated here that it actually has a null value. Again, if you run the same example on ColdFusion, what you'll have to do, obviously you can't use the is null, you have to use this is defined. And when you get to the end and do the dump, you're going to find that parent file actually doesn't exist. But just to show you that this also runs on Blue Dragon, we'll refresh, same result. Showing parent file is null at that point. But again, the key point here, and I guess this is worth emphasizing because people are going to bring this up, our implementation of null and is null is fully backwards compatible with both CFMX and Blue Dragon 6. In other words, any code that you write that runs today on CFMX or on Blue Dragon 6 will continue to run properly on Blue Dragon 7. And that's basically what I've just demonstrated here. And let me give you one more example of this, of where null is useful, is actually checking on a null value from a database. I'm sure you're all aware right now that basically in both ColdFusion MX and Blue Dragon 6, if you get a null database value, it comes back as an empty string. And you have no way of distinguishing between empty strings and null values. With Blue Dragon 7, you actually will be able to do a test here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm basically going to select from the database where the email column is null, so I know that I'm getting some nulls back. I'm going to go ahead and dump that so we can see it. I'm going to output it to show that, in fact, it's still treated as an empty string. I'm going to compare it with an empty string, which is basically what you have to do today, show that that still works. But in additionally, what Blue Dragon 7 is going to allow you to do is say, hey, I don't want to know if that's an empty string. I want to know, is this really a null value? And then also the isNull function can be used for the same effect. So let's just run this code. And so you can see I selected back, I got three columns that have email as null. I just took the first column, prints out as an empty string, compared it to an empty string, yep, that works. Use equal null value, yep, that worked. Use the is null value for nulls. So basically, to summarize, you know, there's a couple of different places where the null keyword and the is null value are useful. One is when for CFC return types. The other is when you're interacting with Java methods that either take null parameters or return null values, and then also for testing database nulls. And I think Let's see, what else do I have? I don't know that, I don't have the internet connectivity, so the CF document isn't going to work. Let me show you an example of a CF chart enhancement that we've done. So let's see if this is going to fire up. So what we're showing is, this is a CF chart, and there's a couple of enhancements. The CF chart image tag, basically what that allowed me to do is put a background image. This is the Blue Dragon logo that we added to this chart. CF chart title allowed me to put this title here on the chart, and then the legend, CF chart legend, allowed me to add this legend over here. Again, some little enhancements that you're going to find to the CF chart tag that are unique to Blue Dragon, that only Blue Dragon 7 is going to have. And again, the CF chart is going to be supported exactly the same on both the Java J2 editions of Blue Dragon as well as BlueDragon.net. And I think that's all I have to show. I think, how are we doing on time? We've got 10 minutes. I don't see my monitor back there. So let me open the floor for questions. So the question is, with BlueDragon.net, can I write a class in C# and then invoke that from CFML code? And the answer is yes, absolutely. You use the CF object tag to do that, and I believe Josh is going to demonstrate that in his second talk, not the immediately when the integrating talk. He's actually going to show that. Or if not, we have demos that we can show you here available on the machines of doing that. Question back. The question is, do we support DSN-less connections? The answer is, on BlueDragon.net, yes, we do. On the Java J2E versions, no, we do not. And that's, on the Java versions, it's the same reason that CFMX does not support them, is because the Java platform doesn't support them. But on BlueDragon.net, yes, we do support DSN-less connections. Question. Could you repeat the question again? The question is, if you're tracking sessions in the database, are there issues with layer 3 load balancing? I don't know what layer 3 load balancing is. So, okay. All right, this is on the .NET edition. Well, okay, so the question, the layer 3 load balancing, we're talking about load balancing without using sticky sessions. Okay. In BlueDragon.net, the .NET framework provides you a way to do that. Okay, so in .NET, you have the option of doing your sessions either in a state server, which would, in a state server case, what that is you have one server that's designated as the session server, and it keeps all the sessions in memory. Okay, and all the other servers get sessions from that server. Or you can put the session data in a database, just as you would client data in ColdFusion. So this is capability that the .NET platform gives you that BlueDragon.net has by writing on top. Okay, if you do that, I don't think there would be any issues. It just works. In the J2E edition, it's a little bit more complicated because that session, you know, the key, if you're not using sticky sessions, the key problem is how are you going to distribute the sessions now across these servers? Okay. And in the J2E servers, that's really the J2E server's problem to solve. And they solve it in different ways. So it would depend whether you're using WebLogic or WebSphere, how you did it. In general, the answer to that question is that Blue Dragon doesn't solve that problem. The underlying server solves that problem. And so it really depends which server you're using to answer the question. Does that help? Is that helpful? Okay. Are there other questions? Yes. Okay, so the question is, does the Blue Dragon implementation of CF chart support customized templates? Yes, not in exactly the same way. There's basically a mechanism to do that we'll document. It's slightly different, but the capability is there. Yes. Any others? Yes, in the back. So the question is, on the .NET version, can you share attribute scope variables? So if you start with an ASP.NET page and you invoke a custom tag, so I'm trying to think, how would you, right, because attributes are with custom tags, right? Okay, so in Fusebox, if you're running pure CFML, then you don't have any issues, right? The issue would become if you're trying now to include an ASPX page in your Fusebox application. We'd have to take a look at it. I don't know that anyone's tried that. I don't know. We'd have to give it a try and see. Any more? Okay, so don't forget the other four sessions today. If any of those, you want to learn any more detail about anything that I talked about, come to one of those four sessions and learn more. And I guess right now we're going to raffle off the iPod. Did everyone get a raffle ticket? Does anyone that came in late not get a raffle ticket? All right, we've got some folks that need raffle tickets. All right, is this the number? All right, everybody ready? 644-0042. There we go. Yay! Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.